Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I'm not going to say anything other than what we all know this absolutely is, and that what we have seen unfold these past few weeks in Afghanistan is nothing other than complete criminal treason. Nobody, not even the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who I will never call the president of the United States because he's not, he's a phony, he's a fraud, and he stole this election. Nobody, not even him, not even woke Millie, not even critical race theory Lloyd Austin. Nobody is this stupid. Nobody is this stupid. This was pure, unadulterated evil, leaving hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans behind, leaving the party of PETA, the party of animal rights, leaving those precious dogs behind there in Kabul, stopping Christians from being able to get into the airport, stopping women, stopping children from being able to get to the airport, leaving the Taliban with billions, tens of billions, $85 billion worth of equipment, giving this, I shouldn't say what I really want to say in this regard, but leaving them the equipment and the arms and the planes and the tanks, the Humvees, the missiles. This has happened, ladies and gentlemen. This actually happened. And as I said on our crosstalk last week, I completely understand if what you're feeling right now is something that you've never felt before, and it's difficult to process because it's all been extremely difficult to process for me. How the TV generals and how the regime occupying Washington, D.C., and the regime occupying Capitol Hill, how those people can do this, can leave Americans behind and pull out in such a way as to maximize the death, the destruction, and the empowerment of taking a terror group and turning them into a terror nation, fully armed now with one of the best armies, arsenals in the world. You have every right to be upset. You have every right to be confused. You have every right to kind of take a step back and ask yourself, what in the world? God, what is happening here? What is happening in the United States of America? You have every right to ask that. And I'm with you. And I'm asking that. But here's what you have to understand, I think. This is just my take on it. Take it for what it is. Many, many people around the world, the vast majority of the people around the world, have to live under a government that is not for them. Has to live under an evil, tyrannical government. We're not used to that here in the States. We're not used to that here in many Western nations. This is a different experience for us. In the United States is a nation that destroys the Taliban. Or at least if we're not going after them, at least we protect ourselves from them. We don't empower them with billions in equipment, with military bases, with our embassy, with anything and everything. We didn't even destroy the equipment that we left there on the way out. I can only presume because we wanted them to have it. That's what you and I don't get. That's what we don't understand. And it's and it's for good reason. We have never seen anything like this in our life. I didn't even expect this from the Biden regime. I didn't. This even this surprises me. It shouldn't, but on some level, it does. And even if you expected the worst from them, you surely didn't expect this. But they wanted. This was what I heard Frank Gaffney call a strategic defeat. This was a defeat that they wanted, that they planned for, and that they ultimately gave all of us. Whether it was Barack Obama pulling the strings, Susan Rice, as Richard Grinnell thinks Susan Rice is running the show behind the scenes. Whatever it was, this was a strategic defeat. My son's history teacher, and he's been blessed with a great history teacher, all he had to do was ask the kids a few questions, and they figured out the right way to get out of Afghanistan. Don't tell me for a second Lloyd Austin didn't know the right way to get out of Afghanistan. Don't tell me for a second General Milley and the Joint Chiefs didn't know the correct way to get out of Afghanistan. This is not fumbling, bumbling Biden. This is a treasonous, criminal regime that has taken over the United States of America. And we have to face that. We have to deal with that. We personally, patriots who love our country, who've never experienced anything like this before, even under Barack Obama, we've never experienced anything like this, anything remotely like this. There's presidents we don't like. There's policies we don't like. There's Supreme Court decisions we don't like. But we have never faced this kind of blatant and forward and out there just simple treason. Understanding that our leaders are empowering terrorist organizations, not just the Taliban. Now you're going to have ISIS and Al-Qaeda roaming free through Afghanistan as well, probably sharing in some of the spoil that the Biden regime left for them so that they could have, because they obviously wanted them to have it. And when you hear those maddening stories of the generals, the 82nd Airborne Division general that refused the women and the children, refusing people, even with American passports, you understand clearly what's going on here. That the U.S. military, at least the leadership, is working for somebody else. They're not working for you. They're most likely, they're working with the Chinese Communist Party. They're working with and the greater New World Order. I don't know what to make of this other than that. I'm tired of hearing conservative commentators, like I was hearing this guy that I really liked on Real America's Voice earlier. He kept talking about the gross incompetence of the Biden regime. There's no way. And if somebody wants to try to gaslight me and make me think that it was just incompetence, feel free. But we know what it was. We know that that is not what it was. And we, as people who have never had to experience this before, unlike other people around the world who have had to experience living under tyrannical regimes, and that's just part of a daily life, living under regimes where the focus is on themselves and enriching them and taking care of them, and them seeing the populace as simple rubes, as simple serf slaves to do the bidding of their overlords and their respective capitals. This is new to us, and we have to accept that that is what is going on right now. Now, I'm not saying, oh, the new normal, accept the new normal. No. That's not it at all. There's a quote that's attributed to Ayn Rand, and she didn't actually say it, but it's a great quote, one of my favorites. You can deny reality, but you cannot deny the consequences of reality. We can deny reality right now, and we can pretend that something other than what is likely a CCP vassal regime is reigning in Washington, D.C. We can deny that, and we can stick our heads in the sand like I've been guilty of before, And we can stick our heads in the sand and pretend that it's something other than it is. But that is not what it is. Look, it's been a tough afternoon. I'll just be honest. There have been one or two tears shed, and I don't cry easily. And of course, that guy came out today, and he said it was an incredible success. Everything was great. Everything is wonderful. Look, it says it on the news. It's a high-quality production. There are pretty colors and great lighting and a great look. Not, of course, look, I understand. When that man is speaking, his speech is slurred and it sounds kind of strange. You're just kind of wondering if it's all there. Just simply listening to him talk. Don't take my word for it. I apologize in advance that you have to listen to this, but listen to not only his gaslighting, but listen to his speech.
20,000 people evacuated to safety. That number is more than double what most experts thought were possible. No nation has ever done anything like it in all of history. Only the United States had the capacity and the will and ability to do it, and we did it today. The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals.
Can't even read a freaking teleprompter. Look, we all make mistakes. But listen, there's more. Listening to him talk, and he was getting angry at the beginning of the speech from what I was seeing. I didn't watch the whole thing. I had better things to do. As I said, it's been a tough afternoon. It's been building up for me personally for a few weeks. Today is the day that the Americans were officially left behind. We've done something I think we've never done in our history. This idea that we are going to pull the military out and then we're going to evacuate people. An orangutan could have told you that that was a bad idea. That made absolutely no sense, but such are the times that we're living in, and such is the regime that Americans now have to accept that is the current state of affairs. Not accept forever, but we have to understand what we are dealing with. If you cannot, you have to clearly identify the enemy. And what it is, who it is, and who exactly they are, and then you can better strategize and defeat that enemy. Of course, I'm talking peacefully. I'm not talking or calling for any kind of violence. Okay, we have a way in this country. We have a process. If we can fix that process to where we can actually get a free and fair election, to where we can actually bounce back from this. I think a lot of us were probably hoping to hear Biden resign today in disgrace and in shame. And there was part of me that thought for this past week and a half, that really might happen. When Peter Doocy of Fox News broke him and he had his head in his hands, it kind of made you wonder. But now, I'm of the belief that Biden is not going to resign. And in fact, as defiantly and as evil and as gaslightingly he came out today and gave the speech that he did, calling this disaster of all disasters in American history an unparalleled success. You see, if there was any shred of honesty, if there was any shred of integrity, and if this actually was a botched mission, then yeah, you would expect the possibility that even someone like a Biden would resign. But if this went as planned, and we made a terrorist, turned a terrorist organization into a terrorist supernation, well, then everything went exactly as it should. If that was our plan, that was the plan. If it was to empower the CCP, if it was to empower Russia, if it was to empower the New World Order, that's what happened. Why would Biden resign when he did exactly as he was supposed and as he was told and instructed to do? We know he takes instructions all the time. Almost every time he steps up to the camera, he talks about how he was instructed to do this. He was instructed to do that. He was given a pre-approved list to call on people. I'm going to get in trouble. What? You're going to get in trouble? Who's going to get in trouble? Mama Jill is going to be upset? She's not going to make you your milk and cookies? Like, what are you going to get in trouble from? You're supposedly the president of the United States. You call on who you want to call on. You do what you think is right, of course, within the realm of the authority of your particular office. America surrendered today and has been surrendering because America is compromised, because the upholding of the United States Constitution and the best interests of the American people are not of a smidgen of concern for this administration. That is what we are dealing with. This isn't politics as usual. This isn't, there was this disaster that happened with this political party that I don't like. Oh, great. You know, maybe our guy will have a better chance of winning next time because of that. No. It's not like that anymore. Not when you have a treasonous regime, not only occupying the White House, but also the People's House, right? The Reichstag, as they would call in Germany. And speaking of the Reichstag, Speaker Nancy Pelosi today did something that, again, I'm even surprised by this. I'm a bit surprised. I shouldn't be, but wow, it's their evil is so blatant and out there. It's simply earth-shattering. This is from Becker News. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has a reputation. Mark that. She has no reputation left. Nonetheless, she has pulled off the improbable with a callous, disrespectful act against America's military, Gold Star families, and the 13 slain U.S. service members who lost their lives due to Biden's reckless military withdrawal from Afghanistan. On Tuesday, Pelosi reached a new low by blocking their names from being read on the House floor. Multiple congressmen reported on Pelosi's dirty deed. This is at Rep. Carlos, Congressman Carlos A. Jimenez. I'm sure he'll be called a white supremacist soon. How badly do Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats want to cover up this Afghanistan debacle? They just blocked members of Congress from reading the names of the service members who sacrificed their lives in Afghanistan last week. Don't you think our military deserves better? The frankly shocking act of unpatriotic behavior was also remarked upon by Congressman Brian Mast, who gave his remarks to the Floridian. Quote, Representative Brian Mast, a wounded combat veteran from Afghanistan, tells the Floridian that during a Republican-only moment of silence, Speaker Pelosi refused to recognize them to, quote, read names or bring up bills or anything, the Floridian reported. We, quote, we gaveled in, had a prayer, said the Pledge of Allegiance, took a moment of silence with pretty much all Republican veterans, then asked to be recognized to read names and bring up Afghanistan legislation. They did not acknowledge us and just closed the House down. You read that right. A Republican-only moment of silence. It once again reveals that the Democrat Party shows no loyalty to our troops or even our nation. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a communist criminal regime. That gate, that fence around the Capitol to keep themselves away from the people, something that you would, of course, see more akin to a communist regime doing, is a picturesque example of how they feel about us, what they think about us, and what they think about this country. That is what we're dealing with. That is the full surrender of America. I mean, look, we gave them the list. We gave the Taliban the list of those who helped us. If you can imagine that. We did that. Now, it was ostensibly for the purpose that the Taliban would take that list and allow those on that list in. We're trusting the Taliban with our lists, with our arms, with our equipment, with our uniforms. And of course, now they're carrying out house-to-house executions in Kabul following our departure. As the Gateway Pundit is reporting, the Pentagon Monday announced war is over in Afghanistan. The final U.S. planes have left the country in defeat. Biden administration left the country in the hands of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS-K, and Al-Qaeda terrorists. General Kenneth McKenzie Jr. made the announcement on Monday afternoon. The final U.S. flights took off from the Kabul airport earlier today. Following the departure of the last U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda terrorists celebrated in the streets. And already there is video of the Taliban reportedly going house to house murdering those people left behind. This was posted earlier tonight, and you can hear the gunshots in the background this is at Laura Logan on Twitter. From senior U.S. source, house-to-house executions in Kabul following U.S. military departure. There are no words for what this administration has done to all of us, Afghan and American. So we understand what we're dealing with, I hope. I hope we've accepted the reality. Not that we're going to accept that this is going to be the continuation of the reality forever, but we have to accept the reality of what we're dealing with here and let it sink in. It's okay if it hurts. It's okay if it hurts. And there is nobody that is hurting more than our veterans right now. I spoke to a veteran on Saturday who was telling me how the suicide hotlines are through the roof. The number of veterans that are committing suicide, the number of veterans that are calling into the suicide hotline are through the roof. This man was shaken. This had nothing to do with politics. There is no Democrat or Republican. It's gone. You're for freedom or you're for tyranny. You're for evil, like what we saw in Afghanistan, or you're for good, like what we're seeing in Afghanistan. This administration is for evil. This administration, that's what they have done. And who the people that are hurting the most here in the U.S. are the vets, our poor vets that the Biden regime wants to take benefits away from them if they don't get the experimental COVID shot. And yes, it's still experimental, even though the FDA has supposedly fully approved one of the shots. Of course, the shots that have been approved haven't been put in production yet, but they're still mandating the shots, even though the fully approved shots aren't distributed yet to the public. It's insane. Everything is insane. And it's insane and it's evil what our vets are having to face. If you're an Afghan vet, if you're an Iraq vet, if you're a Desert Storm vet, if you're a Vietnam vet, even if you never served in Afghanistan, it doesn't matter if you're a vet and you see how the top military of the United States and how the State Department and the regime in D.C., if you see and you've seen what they're doing, you're saying, this is what I fought for? This is what I almost gave my life for? Maybe this is what I gave a limb for this. I gave an eye. I have dealt with PTSD for decades. For this? Nobody's hurting more than they are right now. Pray for our vets. God help them to have to deal with this, to have to be stabbed in the back. I could see it on that vet's face on Saturday. Betrayal. This isn't politics. There is no Democrat or Republican. Those days are gone. Gone. This is good versus evil. America has fully surrendered to evil. So what do we do about that? What do we do about this? I got a few ideas. I hope you'll hear me out. All of us, of course, the first thing that we can do is that we ourselves, if you're an American listening to this, or if you're not an American listening to this, but I like the idea of America fully surrendering, not to the CCP, not to the New World Order, but a full surrender of Americans to Jesus Christ. I was tore up this afternoon. I was dealing emotionally with something that had been built up for weeks, past few weeks, as I've sat and just watched in horror and just shock of the kind of stuff that our government is doing and the kind of stuff that our government is allowing and purposefully doing. And I couldn't help shake this idea. And I mentioned it last week on Crosstalk, but I feel it much more now. And it's this idea that Aslan, the famous character from C.S. Lewis's great series, Chronicles of Narnia, that Aslan is on the move. I kid you not. Aslan is on the move. I'm feeling it. I'm personally experiencing it. Okay, you got to understand, when there's great evil that happens on the earth, great glory, God does great and glorious things at the same time. He always has, he is right now, and he always will. So we have a choice personally for us to make. We can side with the kingdom of God and put our faith and full trust, our full surrender to Jesus Christ, or we can side with the kingdom of darkness. And that's not a political thing, even though there are, of course, political decisions and politicians that I support more than others. That is a light versus dark. That is a good versus evil. That is, whose side are we on? Jesus said, if you are not with me, you are against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. We're either for Christ or we're against him. Choose Christ. And if we have chosen Christ already, and we have been born again, we've received his Holy Spirit. And if you want to know more about that, go to cgmradio.com, click on Great News, and read through that gospel presentation. Or it's also up at cgm.news, along with the stories that I'm referring to today, and at and other, of course, other important stories. And if we have made that step and surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, then we need to go deeper in that walk. Ask God to take us deeper. Ask God to show us what to do and how to live, and go further in that process of discipleship, of following Jesus and becoming his servant. Look, second thing that we need to do is we need to look for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. And God will open those doors if you're available, and you're willing to step through those doors. It is the gospel that is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I was in a situation yesterday, I can't go into details, but I had done some work with this particular individual. This is the fifth day that we were doing some work together, and I had resolved earlier that day, before we had gotten together, I'd resolved that I wanted to share the gospel with this person. And I was praying about it. I was thinking about how I would bring it up. I knew this was the last time that he and I were probably going to be together for a while. And I just prayed. He had been on my heart since we'd started working together, you know, a month and a half ago or so. And I just prayed. You know, I just prayed and asked God for him to open a door. But really the only thing that was going to stop me from sharing the gospel with this guy was God himself. That was it. I was so resolved. And this is a very unusual thing for me. This does not happen in me very often. But something different is going on. Aslan is on the move. Something different is going on. So I had resolved it. I had decided this was happening today, no matter what. And in the course of our working together, before I had said anything, we weren't talking about spiritual things. He literally brought up spiritual things and how he was searching right now. I'm like, what? You've got to be kidding me. It was almost out of nowhere. It wasn't something I didn't bring it up. I don't even know why it came up, but he just kind of brought it up. And he said, yeah, it was like with everything going on, I've just been searching for something more. I've been searching for something to put my trust in. Like, I believe there's a higher power. I just don't know which one is right. And so I asked him, I said, well, do you know what the gospel is? It means good news, you know? And he's like, no, I don't. And I was like, I mean, do you want me to kind of share with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. And, you know, he was doing a bunch of other stuff. And I was like, well, how about this? Let's wrap up, you know, after we wrap up with work today, let's talk about it afterwards. He's like, yeah, that's great. So literally, God just opened that door. Now, I've been following Jesus 24 years. That doesn't happen very often like that. So I don't want to give any ideas that that's what's going to happen in every instance. But that is, it does happen sometimes. And maybe because I was so committed to doing it, God decided that he would make it a bit easier on me. So we ended up talking for about an hour afterwards. We had dinner for about 2 hours, about an hour of that. We were talking about the gospel, what it was. He was asking me question after question after question. One of the questions that he asked me, which I'm going to address at the end of this broadcast. One of the questions that he asked me is, what about those who have never heard the gospel? Like, if Jesus is what's necessary for salvation, then what about those who have never heard? And this person was very nice about it. He wasn't combative at all. He just simply was curious. He just didn't know. And so I will address that actually at the end of this show. So stick around to that, because there's an answer to that that I felt like the Lord gave me that I hadn't heard anywhere else. And when I shared the answer with this individual, it was very satisfying to him. And it's very satisfying to me. I'm sure somebody else has said it. I'm sure I'm not the first one to think of it, but it wasn't something that I heard from somewhere else. This is kind of one of those things when God is pleased to give you some wisdom just because you're his kid and he loves you. Not because you're better than any other one of his kids, because he does it to his other kids also. This was just specific to me. It was an incredible time. It was a God thing. And so what I want to encourage us to do, I know a lot of Christians listen to this broadcast. You know, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. What does it mean to make a disciple? What is a disciple? A disciple is a Christian. Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Go therefore and make Christians of all nations. In other words, go therefore and preach the gospel to those nations. Share the good news. Then you baptize them, and then you teach them to observe everything that he has commanded you. And that's the job of the whole church. You know, the Great Commission isn't, you know, it's, you know, some people are going to be more gospel preaching. Other people are going to baptize more than others. Other people are going to be the teachers in the church in varying capacity. So that's a commission for the whole church. And we need to find our place in the Great Commission. But ultimately, it's about seeing, because what is going to heal this nation? What's going to heal the world is the thing that's always healed our nation. And the thing that's always healed the world, it was the world. It's reason why America was great and is the greatest nation in the history of the world. Look, when you even have someone like Bill Maher, And I was just absolutely floored when I saw someone share a video by Bill Maher on Instagram. And I'm not going to play the thing here. I'm sure you can look it up and you can find it. I may have even put it up on CGM.news. I'm not sure. But it was absolutely devastating to the woke world. And it should be devastating, not just to the woke world, but anybody, and this includes myself sometimes, who complains about pretty much anything. Like, we have it unbelievably good, at least right now. We'll see how things go in the next few years, or who knows, even a few months. You never know with this regime. But comparatively speaking, you know, one of the things that he said is, oh, your college professor said something that you didn't like? Ah, you know, big deal. At least you can go to college. At least you can go to school. You know, and it's that kind of thing when you even have the atheists of the world waking up and waking us up as a nation to things such as that. I'm just watching this video thinking, my goodness, Bill Maher, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And look, he is not a fan of God or Christianity or anything of that nature. Now, I do believe he is Frank Turek made famous. I do believe he's stealing from God with the morality that he espoused during that video. Where does he get that morality from if there is no God? So he's kind of taking from God to make his points. But putting that aside, his points were phenomenal. And they were right on. And of course, with a signature Bill Maher F-bomb thrown in there, you always have to have that. But it was spot on. God is working. Pray for Bill Maher. You know, I mentioned this last week and I'll say it again. Pray for the Taliban. Pray that the fear of God, remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. The fear of God. What God can do by His Holy Spirit hitting one member of the Taliban is probably a lot more than what you or I could do, kind of grabbing our guns and going over there trying to take them out. And look, there's a military response, Romans 13. There's a New Testament, New Covenant, military, physical, kinetic response to this. And there are Afghan resistance forces there in Afghanistan. I don't know how long they're going to last, but pray for them. But we need to become spiritual snipers. And we need to pick off the Taliban, one by one, but every Taliban member that lays down their arms, that has a dream about Jesus, and puts their life over into the hands of Jesus Christ, is one girl, perhaps, that's not raped. One girl, perhaps, that's not kidnapped. One father that's not murdered so that his daughter could be kidnapped and raped and become a child bride. And that's up to us, you know. God works through humanity. He's given us a free will, and He has chosen to work through us to resolve the problems of the world. So, to recap a little bit, first, we need to, in the same extraordinary way that Biden surrendered to the CCP, we need to, in an extraordinary way, surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And we need to, secondly, make our lives about the Great Commission, something admittedly I haven't been as great on. But I'm making a fresh commitment to do that myself with the Lord's help. And then thirdly, I want to encourage you to gather together with other believers in prayer. Find some like-minded believers that are burdened by what's going on in the world. Get together with them and gather together in prayer. But Ryan, come on, like, action. We need action. We don't need to just get together and pray. We need action. Okay. I agree we don't need only prayer. But we need prayer and our relationship with God to be the foundation of whatever we do. Because in times like this, and trust me, I am right there with you, there are stuff that goes through my head I want to do that I'm not willing to admit out loud. I'm as infuriated and as tore up about what has just happened, the bleep show that is the Biden regime that has just happened over the past few weeks. Trust me, I am with you, and I got to ground myself. I have given in to hatred in my heart. I confess that. Hatred in my heart of the stuff that I am seeing and reading and hearing, and I've had to confess that to the Lord. These are difficult times. You know, we might not have, you know, a guy with an ISIS flag rolling around in front of our streets yet, but these are, for us psychologically, and especially if you're a veteran, God bless our veterans, these are very difficult times. And left to ourselves and left to the impulses of our flesh, we can do things that are rash, we can do things that are stupid, we can do things that are destructive. So what I want to encourage everybody to do is to gather together with other people, like-minded believers, in prayer. In prayer. Have a prayer meeting. Spend time. It's not a Bible study. It's not, you know, sit there and read the Bible while everybody else prays. Have a prayer meeting where you come together and everybody prays for what is on their heart. Not one of these, everybody, you know, says a prayer request and then one person at the end says, Lord, you know, I pray for all these prayer requests. And you don't actually pray for anything that everybody said. That's ludicrous. I've been in Sunday school where we do that and it's ludicrous, okay? No, where everybody just take turns, whoever feels led to pray what's on their heart. And then the other people agree, if they do agree. And then someone else prays. And maybe you break out into a worship song. And maybe then somebody else prays something. You know, make it real where you're like, as if there's a God that is there listening and willing to respond to those prayers of faith. Pray like that. Okay? So you're going to have a prayer meeting. You're going to have people praying. And as people are praying, God's going to put different things on their hearts. As you're praying about Afghanistan, as you're praying about the Biden regime, as you're praying about the Great Commission and reaching others for Jesus Christ, God is going to put things on people's hearts. Okay, the prayer meeting is going to end, and then y'all are going to talk about that. And you're going to talk about all those things, but you're going to talk about all those things from an eternal perspective. You're going to talk about all those things after having spent time with the King, because He is our leader and He is our King. And so we have to do those things and we have to walk this out in a way that's pleasing to Him. And so that's where that prayer meeting, where we get grounded in the Lord, we get grounded in His presence and His Spirit, and we fix our eyes on Him. And then we talk about things we need to do outside of the prayer meeting. And that can be one of a number of things, something that I can't tell you what that is. I can't sit here and give you a list. You need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's not my job. I think something that we can all do is we can write our congressman. We can even write the president. If you don't, look, I understand. Maybe you feel like the president won't listen to you. Write him anyway. And if your congressmen or if your senators are not fighting this evil regime, write them and let them know how you feel about that. That's some basic stuff we can do. You know, I try to think about how, you know, the guys were willing to cross the Potomac on Christmas, freezing their tails off for our freedom. You know, we can, at the comforts of our computer and cell phone, reach out to our elected representatives, or even those representatives that happen to have stolen the election. Either one. Real or fake, you can reach out to them and do something very real. And from everything that I've heard, that actually does make a difference, and it will help you physiologically and psychologically to feel better. I think another thing that people can do that I think is very important is to become more self-sustaining. I know that inflation is going through the roof. I don't know what the Biden economy is going to look like, but I think having some survival food, I think having a garden, we're about to get a garden going ourselves, to be more self-sustaining. So not only that you can help yourself and your family in a crisis, but that you could also help your neighbor. You know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And that's one of the reasons also for sharing the gospel with our neighbors, which is something that I need to do myself. So, but becoming on a physical level, becoming more self-sustaining, let's be real, making sure you have the ammunition that you need, along with the food and the water that you need. There may come a time, depending on how even more extreme this regime already, this regime gets. You know, it could get bad. Are they going to go house to house eventually, forcing people to get the COVID injection? What would you do? What would you do? I know what I would do, but I'm not going to say what I would do. You need to figure out what you would do, and you need to do that. You need to pray about what you would do, and you need to do that. What would they do? What would you do if they said, deny Christ, or we're going to kill you? I know what I've settled in my heart to do. What would you do? Or deny Christ, or we're going to take your family and do who knows what. You know, what would we do? These are questions that I've thought about in my 24 years as a follower of Jesus. These are questions that I've thought about a lot. But I've never had to really think and wonder if it was but a few years away or sooner from becoming a reality in the very nation that I live. We got to resolve these things in our hearts. You know, a COVID injection is a response to a forced COVID injection is a very different response than them saying, deny Christ. Those are two very different things, but we need to resolve in our hearts what we are going to do. And then, of course, we need to make sure that we are protecting the freedoms that exist in our local jurisdiction. You know, I was heartened to see protesters going through New York City protesting the COVID Green Pass. I don't live in New York City. I don't live anywhere close to New York City. But if something like that came to Texas, they would hear from me. They would hear from me. And I hope they would hear from you too. Because that's our job. That's our job, protecting the freedoms of this great nation. You know, just because we are followers of Jesus, and just because, as the scripture says, we are citizens of heaven, does not mean that we are not also citizens of the United States of America. As Bob Siegel has pointed out on his podcast in a previous show, pointing out how Paul very much utilized his Roman citizenship to his advantage and ultimately to the advantage of the kingdom of God. He didn't say, oh, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm throwing out my Roman citizenship. And trust me, Rome was no United States of America either. Yet he utilized it for good. We are citizens of the United States of America. And we have a responsibility to this great nation that God bequeathed, gotta love that word, bequeathed to us here. So let's take that seriously. What else do you think we should do? Email me, world@cgmradio.com. I would be open to your suggestions. I'm going to be going to a prayer meeting on Thursday evening and seeking the Lord because I don't know. I don't know everything that I need to be doing other than I do need to be making disciples of all nations. I do need to be sharing the gospel. We do need to be finding our place in the Great Commission and walking that out. Right? So this is the time. I'm telling you that the guy that I shared the gospel with yesterday, he said, this is just with everything going on, I'm really looking for something to put my faith and trust in. You know, it was honestly almost something that you would think you would hear in a poorly scripted Christian movie. It's not the kind of thing that I would have expected to hear in like real life. And that's what happened. That's what happened. People are open in a way they never have been before. But we have to gather. We can't do it alone. Find other believers. Gather together with other believers and pray together. And then after you pray, talk. And after you talk, do. And I'm telling you, God is on the move. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows much more intimately than any of us what's going on, and he is not going to stop. He is not going to quit until his kingdom comes fully to this earth. What do I end off every broadcast here? You know, may his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, taken from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. That's what he is obsessed with, the expansion of his kingdom. Let's be obsessed about what God's obsessed with. And it's going to be glorious. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Afghanistan, with the spread of terrorist-style Islam, which some would argue is the real Islam. It's not actually radical Islam, but actually is Islam. I don't know. I know it's not good. They're going to launch terror attacks from there. They're going to just wreak all kinds of mayhem in the earth. I don't know how many. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Taliban escaped with the Afghani refugees to come over here to the United States. I don't know. I will terrorist attacks come? Yeah, of course. I mean, I think we would be foolish to think that they wouldn't. We didn't vet these people. They don't care. They just empowered a terrorist regime. Why would they care about vetting Afghanis? They made the Taliban a terror nation. With our taxpayer dollars. Our taxpayer dollars went to create this terror nation in Afghanistan. Well equipped, well funded. This is beyond the Taliban's wildest dreams. Joe Biden gave the Taliban a gift beyond their wildest dreams. But that's what we're dealing with. And now, we have to figure out, we have to move forward. We have to not fear. Do not fear. Matthew 10:28. Look it up if you don't know it. But it basically says, do not fear. Like if we fear, we're disobeying our Lord. Don't fear. Okay? He loves you. He doesn't want you to fear. He wants you to fight. He wants you to fight on your knees in prayer. He wants you to fight and strive against evil in your own heart and in the world. He wants you to fight to expand his kingdom here on this earth so it may grow and grow and grow and grow. He wants us to do his business while here on earth. So let's do it, whatever that looks like. I hope that was helpful. I know a lot of people really want to know, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? If you need to go back, listen to what I said again. That's the beauty of podcasting. You can just rewind, listen to it again. And if you agree with me, and if you think it's sound advice, then please follow it. I ask you to please follow it. And again, if you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, please go to cgmradio.com or cgm.news. Click on Great News and read and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, feel free to email me, world@cgmradio.com, and I'll be more than happy to personally help you. There. Okay, I'm going to end off with what I had mentioned about 20 minutes or so ago about the question that was asked to me of what happens to those who do not hear about Christ. You know, it's often posed this way: if Christ is the only way of salvation, as you Christians say, but yet there are people all over the world, billions of people, who have never heard about Christ, well, then what happens to them? And first off, I want to say that's a great question. That's a fair question. And I don't blame you for asking that question. It's a question that I had. It's a question. It was actually the question in my personal family history. I think one of the questions that was actually keeping my grandfather, Harold J. Worley, out of the kingdom. I remember him when I was a young Christian, 19, 20 years old, hanging out with him. I remember him specifically saying, well, what about those people that have never heard? And I didn't have a response to that. Now, I don't know that if I had a response, he would have therefore come into the kingdom. He was very much not interested in that. My grandmother was a strong Christian, but he never was. I will say he did encourage his kids to go to church and, you know, do what their mom says in that regard. But, you know, he stayed home and did what he did. But that was a big question for him. It was a stumbling block for him. But I think the answer to it is a lot easier than people realize. So what I told this gentleman yesterday, as I said, that question, what happens to those who never hear about Christ, is only relevant in a scenario or in a universe where Christianity is true. Think about it. Let's say Christianity is not true, okay? Some other religion is true, or we're all just a bunch of highly sophisticated gobs of goo, okay? Well, in that instance, it does not matter if somebody hears about Christ or not, because Christ is of no use to them if he is not actually the Son of God. So there's no reason to be concerned about it if Christ is not the Son of God. Now, if Christ is the Son of God, and he truly died for us and rose from the dead, and through repentance of our sins and through faith in Jesus Christ, if we can have salvation in him, well then, yes, it very much does matter what happens to those who do not hear about Christ. So I hope you guys are following me. If Christ is not the Son of God, if Christianity is false, it does not matter whether or not people hear about Christ. If Christianity is true, then it does matter what happens to those who do not hear about Christ. Okay, so that's step one. Step two says this. Okay, so that question is only relevant if Christianity is true. And if Christianity is true, then what is also true? What's also true is that God is good, that God is just. And so whatever happens to those people in the scenario that only matters if Christianity is true, what happens to those people, whatever it is just and is good. There is no gotcha here. There is no, God, you're being unjust. Because their eternal salvation hinging on hearing about Christ is only relevant in a scenario where Christianity is true. And if Christianity is true, then God is also just. So whatever he does with them is going to be just. So I believe that's the foundation. Now you can take a step back from that and you can go deeper. And you can talk about Romans 2 and how if they respond to the light that is given to them, God will bring them a missionary. Kind of like what happened with my coworker yesterday. How he had been seeking and searching for God and poof, a guy shows up dying to share the gospel with him. And you hear stories of groups, people groups that had no idea about Christ that were seeking God, and a missionary shows up. So, or perhaps maybe God will judge people based off of the light that they try, if they obey the light that is given to him, limited as it is, just like Abraham didn't know about Jesus, yet he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Maybe that's the same scenario. But yes, and that's an important discussion. Okay, what does actually happen? But you can't sit there and say that God is unjust because Jesus is the only way, and there are people who die without ever hearing about Christ. You can't say like God is unjust when the only scenario in which their salvation actually hinges upon that is a scenario in which Christianity is true. And if Christianity is true, God is perfectly just. And so whatever he does with them will be perfectly just. I hope that helped you out some. If you liked it, email me, world@cgmradio.com. If you don't like it, you think I'm wrong, you think it's a bad answer, email me. I'll listen to what you have to say. It's not a problem. Pray for our nation. Pray for our vets. Pray for those poor girls in Afghanistan, those poor families in Afghanistan, those poor Americans that have been left behind in Afghanistan. Pray for the Taliban, for ISIS, that they lay down their arms, that Jesus will appear to them and bring them to Christ. And even pray for the Biden regime, that God would restrain their evil and that it would be not as bad as it could be, and that he changes the course of this nation. All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of World News Brief. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Again, visit us online, cgmradio.com/world. Make sure to subscribe. And if you guys need anything, of course, feel free to email me. And make sure to check out all the other great shows. Bob Siegel Show, JP's Political Matrix is actually coming back. So make sure to check that out as well. Since You Asked with Pastor Jim Barrier, Faith, Reason, Culture. We have a new episode out where we're reviewing Season 1, Episode 4 of The Chosen. So that was a lot of fun. I felt like that was our favorite one yet. So make sure to check that out. So God bless. See you next time. May his kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.